You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Pete Zayas at Laker Film Room. You guys all know who he is. Pete, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
I'm pretty thrilled to announce this. We have a pretty big announcement, and I'm just going to just really quickly get where you can find the show out of the way. As always, find the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write, and Forum Blue and Gold, where Pete writes. Make sure, so here's the big news, and you know, if I was better at this, I'd have a drum roll going, but that's fine. As everybody knows, Harrison is leaving Locked On Lakers. Now, he's still going to come on maybe, you know, once or twice a month or so. So you haven't heard the end of – Harrison is not gone completely. And I wasn't going to saddle you guys with just my voice. If you do a Twitter search right now, you can come up with about 30 tweets or so of, oh, crap, we're stuck with Anthony. Which I did, which, you know, thanks, guys. It was great. But I reached out immediately as soon as Harrison kind of told me what was going on, and we'll get into more of the specifics of what's happening there probably on Monday. But as soon as I got that news, I kind of combed Lakers Twitter and Lakers coverage because I do think I work better with a host. And so I'm proud – or a co-host. I'm proud to announce that 2 days a week, Pete's going to be coming on the show, and we're just going to talk about whatever's going on. So, Pete, thanks for taking me up on my offer. I apologize in advance for the hot takes that you're going to be dealing with twice a week now.
Oh, man, I'm excited, and I know how to deflect. I'll send all of the comments about you. I'll forward them to Darius and make sure that he handles them. just to give everybody an idea, for me, this gives me an opportunity to talk more about the day-to-day stuff with the Lakers, where I'll still be doing the Laker Film Room podcast with Darius. Nothing's changing in that respect. But we do, you know, once every 7 to 10 days or so, and it's more of the long-form type stuff where we wax loquacious about things. And sometimes things can happen in that time in between where we just don't have the time to record our own pod, and that's not really the format of it. So for me, this gives me an opportunity to talk more about the day to day. You and I always have a good vibe together, so I'm excited to do this, man.
Yeah, it's so basically, you went to all the home games or something close to all the home games, right, this year?
Starting at the end of November, I went to all but I think two. I went to Spectrum one day, and then I was sick for another one. But I went to about 30 to 32 games this year.
And then you make sure you go to practices and stuff. And you know, it's great because it provides context for all the content. And as always, guys, like if you listen to the show and you don't subscribe to Pete's YouTube channel, if you don't watch or take in all of the content going on over there at Forum Blue and Gold, then like, what the hell are you doing? Really? But you know, for like you said, the daily kind of stuff, the goings on, being there in practice and being there game in, game out, I kind of figured this would be a great way for you to offer that kind of coverage as well. So it works out for everybody. And that's the end goal here. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. I'm sorry.
No worries. So with great start, we are.
I'll have to keep on your cues a little better going forward.
let's enough talking about ourselves, though. There is playoff basketball being played, unfortunately not featuring our Los Angeles Lakers, but featuring maybe a future Laker, and I've started to notice this sentiment out there, and I think it's the vast minority. I think we need to point that out, but there is a vocal minority out there who are wondering kind of why Paul George, like, well, he isn't able to get I guess you could kind of say loaded. I wouldn't call him loaded, but a star-studded Oklahoma City Thunder team past the Utah Jazz and Joe Ingles, who could walk into any YMCA and nobody would have any idea. Like, this is real life Uncle Drew. It's pretty fun to watch it happen in real terms, and people are kind of wondering what's going on here. Why would the Lakers spend max money on Paul George if he can't get this Oklahoma City Thunder team to the second round? To which Pete and I basically, is our response pretty much just like, what the hell?
Yeah, man. I think that, you know, the old saying, don't let perfect be the enemy of the good. This is a perfect example of that, where he's not the guy that's going to be the best player on a championship team. But most championship teams have more than one max guy, and they don't need to be the number one option. And you don't need to acquire your number one option first. I made the analogy yesterday to Powell. And yes, we already had Kobe, but would that have made the Powell trade any less would that have been like a bad move, moving Powell for Kwame and Javaris Crittenden and all of that, right? You know, like, no, you do that trade anyway. And signing Paul George does not prevent the Lakers from getting that number one type of guy. Now, there are some machinations that need to be made with Luol Deng, what's going to happen with Julius Randle, things like that. But Paul George doesn't prevent you from doing anything at the end of the day.
So we are going to continue talking about Paul George. I like the Powell analogy for a couple of reasons, and I'm going to get to those here in a second. So with you mentioned Powell and Kobe. And look, if the Lakers really the number one reason I was thrilled about the Powell trade was that it basically kept Kobe in house, right? Remember, that was a season that he started the year by saying he would play on Pluto if need be. He was not thrilled with Bynum being his main running mate, though Bynum did take a huge leap forward that year. And Powell comes in, and he and Kobe click right away, and the Lakers go from a team that, you know, if you would have told me starting that season that they would be playing in the finals, I would have called you absolutely insane. And what that did was bringing in Powell, just like with Paul George, I think Paul George is that first domino that everybody is waiting for. And yes, technically it could be Lonzo, it could be Ingram, if they take quantum leaps next year that superstars might start thinking, wow, look at what's going on here, just like you're seeing kind of with Philadelphia. But if you get Paul George in-house and they have a good enough season, now Kawhi, who would be a free agent at the end of next season anyway, he's kind of looking at it and saying, huh, well, that's interesting. And Powell, even though the Lakers had Kobe, there was a very good chance they might not have finished that year with Kobe. And Powell kind of served as a pseudo first domino to keeping Kobe around and making that you know, kind of miraculous season all kind of take place. And then we saw what happened from that point on. Would you ride with me with that comparison?
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, Powell was – so Kobe was under contract for 3 years, and as badly as he wanted to leave, Jerry Buss very wisely was like, you know, you don't replace a Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. And he had the leverage to do that with having three more years on his deal. But in terms of keeping the peace, I don't know if you remember, but so Bynum made that big leap that you talked about, and then he got hurt like 4 days before the trade.
God,
it was so deflating, right? Like, mm-hmm. It was like, because for me, 2008 and the 95 season are my two favorite non-title years for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. They're just both really fun years. And when Bynum got hurt, Lakers were either the number one seed in the West, or they were right there. And it was just, oh my God. And then Powell injected that life back in, and he was just such a brilliant complement to what Kobe did. But like you said, like, we look at Lonzo and Ingram and all of the young core through the lens of what they could be. But a guy like Kawhi Leonard or Jimmy Butler, who will be a free agent next year as well, those guys are in their prime. Like, now matters to them. What the present time, what they are. Like, it doesn't matter what Lonzo is going to be at 25 to a guy who's signing a max deal and deciding where he's going to spend the best years of his career. It matters what they are now. And a guy like Paul George is good now. So if you can get him, he's going to be the most compelling reason for the second guy and the actual superstar to actually come over here.
Yeah, it enables Lonzo and Ingram to be house money at that point, right? If they develop, then great. That's even more reason for the second superstar to come in. But I don't think you can convince that first superstar to come in unless it's a special circumstance, as it seems to be with Paul George. Like, he has just wanted to be a Laker, and kudos to him for that. And that was the other point that I was going to make regarding Paul George, is that, look, I roll my eyes at the notion of, well, he just knows what it means to be a Laker, right? Like, there was a whole offseason where, like, every single player who became a Laker or could become a Laker was asked that question, or that question was asked about that player, and I kind of rolled my eyes at it. But given where the Lakers are and where they've been coming from, the fact that Paul George wants to be a Laker and kind of knows the weight that will be on his shoulders, the fact that he wants to do that anyway, that has to mean something. So on top of this guy being incredibly skilled, incredibly talented, and fitting like a glove, and we'll get into the fit alongside what the Lakers currently have here in a second. But to go with all of that, this guy wants to be a Laker and has reportedly been hell-bent on being a Laker now for going on 2 years. That has to mean something.
It does, and it's unusual in that, mm-hmm. like, the Lakers, this was a fun year relative to the previous four, that's for sure. But how often has a max level free agent gone to a 35-win team? I can't think of any examples of it. The only one I can think is LeBron when he went back to Cleveland, right? They'd won 33 games the year before. Kyrie was already in hand, and they had won the lottery for what, the third time in 4 years, which was going to be dealt for Kevin Love, right? So LeBron was able to, with having that, you know, that young stud and Kyrie, and having the number one pick that could be moved for a guy like Love, he was able to still walk into a situation that, like, hey, we can contend and compete from day one. And he was going home, right? There's mm-hmm. there's all these factors that go into that. Guys like Paul George don't normally go to teams like the Lakers, what the Lakers are right now. And so if you get the opportunity to capitalize on all of that brand equity, like, so when Kobe signed his extension, right, one of the arguments for it was like, hey, you are showing free agents that you will take care of them down the line. Mm-hmm. This is supposed to be the payoff, right? Like, he's not supposed to go to a 35-win team. But if we're going to sell that line of, hey, Laker loyalty, Laker brand, Lakers take care of their own, this is the time for that actually to become reality.
Absolutely. And you know, you mentioned LeBron and other examples of that. I think that Miami team that he went to was also horrible. But that was, again, a special circumstance because he was pairing up with Dwayne and Bosch to go to Miami.
Yeah, and I think, right? They were a first-round playoff team. I think they lost in the first round, which isn't great, but, like, they weren't a bad team.
Oh, the year before was because they drafted Beasley, right? So they basically – all they had on their team was, like, Wade and Beasley, if I remember.
Yeah, and correctly. Wade averaged, like, 30 a game or something like that year. He was phenomenal that year.
Yeah, that's the argument. That's what everybody points to when people put him and Kobe into the same conversation. That's not a conversation we're going to have. I don't want to do that to my mentions and all of that. What we're going to do, we're going to take a second quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to get into finally some of the X's and O's. And I have a question that I want to ask Pete regarding how he handles kind of this time of year and how he's looking forward to the off season. We'll get to that here in a second. So I've kind of wondered, you and Darius is kind of like this as well, where you're more of like, look, get these guys in house and we'll analyze from there, right? And obviously you're always going to look at, well, look at – everybody is naturally going to say, well, let's see how this kind of – this is how this could look, and this is why it's so exciting that Paul George might want to be a Laker and blah, 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 blah. But from where you're sitting, like – you know, would you make a video specifically for Paul George? Would you make a video specifically for Kawhi? Like, how are you going to handle the off season with the kind of content you're looking forward to producing?
So I'm definitely going to make a Paul George video. I probably would make a Kawhi one until the smoke started turning into a little more fire. But I will definitely have a Paul George video, and I've even started, you know, watching clips and seeing some of the action that OKC runs, you know, in the playoffs and, mm-hmm. and in previous games, and how it's similar and how it's different from what the Lakers do. So yeah, there will be that, you know. I will probably have like a LeBron one where I've done the work on it, but I don't release it until later on. So I actually like this time of year because I mean, it's one of the few benefits of the Lakers not playing in the playoffs, because I watched so much Lakers during the year that it's kind of ironic that I don't know the rest of the NBA as well as I used to in some respects, except for when they play the Lakers, you know. So, yeah, this gives me an opportunity to see what everybody else is doing and, you know, watch 3-4 games a day that are not Lakers. And while I'm still, you know, working on a Brandon Ingram video and what the young core should be working on over the offseason. So that's the kind of stuff that I do. How about you, man? What is your, is this, you know, are you sipping Mai Tais in that palatial estate down where you're living, or?
Well, I did have plenty of Mai Tais. Like I can't lie about that.
And you do have a palatial estate.
I'm just
putting
happy
your business out in these streets, man.
I'm just happy that I have enough room to invite everybody over. Like that's kind of the purpose of all this.
Like I said last time I was there, man, you have enough room to start a cult there.
I've considered it. I might have to, like, given how Twitter feels about me, I might have to, like, start a cult and just, like, bribe people to say nice things about me on Twitter. But to, like, I enjoy. Look, last night, I can't lie. I basically wore a Utah Jazz jersey. I was putting all the positive vibes I could, and during that third quarter, I was pretty livid at you know, the Gobert fourth foul that he picked up. That was a pretty whatever call, and then he picked up his fifth, I think, on like the most obvious hook ever, and I was just livid at Gobert. Like, why would you do that? Do you not know how to dribble? Turns out he doesn't. Rubio was shooting like contested mid-range jumpers, and I was livid at that. Like, that's not your game. But really, for the most part, like, my family thinks I'm weird in this respect, that I just love basketball. Just watching the different types of strategies that these teams employ to have success in the postseason, that to me is really interesting. And, you know, obviously you could say, like, you know, how could the Lakers employ this set? How could they do this? What would this look like with Lonzo in Rubio's place or whatever? But mostly it's just we rarely get to just be fans, and I really enjoy this time of season, this time of year, and hopefully this is the last year for a long time that we just get to be, I get to be a fan of the NBA and not care necessarily because the Lakers aren't in it. But it is fun just to get back to being a basketball fan, kicking back with, it's not a Mai Tai, yesterday was margaritas, and just watching these super talented athletes do their thing.
Yeah, man, it's definitely a nice break from, especially, like, I don't know, man, there's sometimes where I, you know, get fatigue from just like clip after clip after clip, to just be like, one of the fun things about basketball is that you have like basketball bad guys to you, and everyone's basketball bad guys are different, right? So right now it's OKC, and I like Westbrook just from a personality standpoint. I kind of like what he stands for, but I'm rooting like hell against him in this series, right? And then you've got your LeBrons that Laker fans have typically already always rooted against, right? And it's not like a actual hatred, at least not for me, but it's fun to like find the guys that you like and that you root for, and then pick your bad guys, and, you know, kind of construct the whole narrative around that in a way that reminds me of simpler times, I guess.
It was, who's your guy that you kind of have either irrational, I guess hatred is not really the word for it, but like either irrational love for or irrational hatred of? Like, do you have a guy like that across, either even across eras? Like, for me, it was always, I hated watching Paul Pierce play. I just couldn't stand it. I didn't understand how he was effective. I can't stand his voice. So, like, when he would yell and be excited about it, he was also a Celtic, so I couldn't quite figure out. It was obvious from a Celtic standpoint why I didn't like him. But you would think that me, a chubby guy, would see another chubby guy and say, like, hey, way to go, buddy. But I couldn't get over the fact that I just didn't like the way he kind of handled himself out there. Do you have a guy like that where either way you just really enjoy the way they played regardless? And maybe it was controversial that you liked the way they played, or vice versa?
I couldn't stand Karl Malone. And when the freaking Lakers signed him in 2004, like, I got it. But it was just like, oh man, it stung watching him in purple and gold. And then of course his injury is like one of the biggest reasons they weren't able to go all the way, or at least it would have been a different story to some extent. But yeah, Karl Malone, just everything about him, his personality, just like, yeah, it just drove me up a wall. And then just like kind of guy, and he falls into this category, is guys that kind of like shrink in the moment and mm-hmm. don't really go for it. Like, this is going to sound terribly stupid, I'm sure, at some point during these playoffs, but like James Harden is probably the current guy like that, where mm-hmm. I feel like I've just seen him kind of fall apart when things get hard in ways that irks me now. And it's also like fun to see a guy like that overcome that and kind of like actually show up. But I've seen too many times with him. So he's kind of a guy that I don't know. I give him a little bit of side eye when I watch. How about you, aside from Paul Pierce?
Chris Paul.
Really? Why Chris Paul?
It's just, look, I really love the way he plays. Like, I really love, you know, the court manager and all those. It's not how I played. I was more of the Lonzo variety. I wanted the ball in and out of my hands as quickly as possible because I had way better teammates than I was. So it was just like, how can I get the ball out the court as quickly as possible? How can I get as into the set as soon as I could so that, you know, the more talented guys on my team could have the ball in their hands? And so like that, watching Chris Paul kind of when the game really slows down and he walks the ball up the court, that kind of irks me a little bit. But the antics, like yesterday he got into Jamal Crawford's chest and drew that foul, and he just seems to take way too much enjoyment out of being a dick, and like and it's just that he's too talented to do that stuff. And I think that that's kind of what goes into the James Harden thing, where he draws these fouls, and yes, it is effective, and it helps his efficiency, and it makes him a better player and makes him a better asset on the court, but he just seems too talented to go about to play the game so cheaply. And I want the Houston Rockets to challenge the Warriors, just from narrative standpoint, and chaos in the playoffs is way more fun than knowing what's going to happen going into it. But when that series is actually going on, I'm going to be rooting my pants off for the Warriors, just because I don't like the way those two guys, just the way that they hold themselves and conduct themselves on the court, just irks me.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. And with a guy like Harden, for me as a child of Kobe, because I know you love talking about him so much and drawing everything back to him, which I am going to try to do every chance possible twice a week. Uh-huh. As a child of Kobe, like, one of the things that I loved about Westbrook's performance yesterday was that dude took like 39 shots or something absurd like that. But like, it's kind of like, I'm not going out like a chump type mm-hmm. of thing. And I feel like Harden's gone out like a chump a couple times and in ways that bother me. So with Chris Paul, yeah, he can be a little yappy. And he's short relative to the NBA. I'm short relative to the world around me. I can understand like the Napoleon complex thing like that, but that bothers me too. And just the whole, like, he seems like a guy I could totally see why his Clipper teammates, after a couple of years, it's like, all right, that's enough. I can only do like a couple of years of playing alongside this dude.
All right, enough hatred. Let's end on a positive note. who's your? I mean, I would say LeBron, but that's just because I think he's the best player ever. But who's your favorite guy to watch? Do you have a favorite, like, non-Laker that, you know, if their game is on TV, you make sure that's something you're going to watch?
It's Steph. For me, it's Steph, because he's not, you know, LeBron is, he's brilliant alongside being a physical freak of nature, but Steph's like everyman quality in terms of his physical build and all of that, and just the ability to like shoot the ball the way that he does, to me, like that's something that I might not always love kind of how the Golden State fan base behaves. they are new money to this old Laker fan, right? Where, uh-huh. you know, they're new money and they don't know kind of how to handle it type thing. But in terms of that team, I still enjoy watching, you know, some of the best shooters in the world and the best shooter of all time kind of do his thing. How about for you? Is there somebody, like, is LeBron your guy, even though, you know, he's kind of this one in a million, you know, not even one in a million, like the only guy to ever be like that?
I'm trying to think. I would go Clay. Like, I like the guy. He's completely accepted his role. And, you know, when people are talking about ways that the Warriors could be toppled, and when they were talking about how the league is forever demolished because the Lakers, or because the Warriors became such a, I say Lakers instead of Warriors because Warriors fans used to be Laker fans. It's a Freudian slip there, but like the Klay Thompson, the guy who is just tremendous at what he brings to the table and does so with like zero complaint at all. He kind of recognizes, yeah, this is a really special circumstance that I'm in. I know what I have to be good at in order to make this all work and continue to work. And so he just made himself, like, he plays alongside the greatest shooter ever. But if there's no Steph, Klay's probably the greatest shooter ever. Right. And he does that and also plays great perimeter defense, play great team defense. He's just I'm a nerd for shooters. So his shot to me is like what all shots should look like, really.
And so, yeah, I think he's got the best shooting form in the NBA, just in terms of like how you would teach it to a new shooter type thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. Steph is a better shooter, but he doesn't have the classical shooting form. And when I watch Klay shoot, like Jen will catch me every so often, just like, why doesn't everybody shoot like that? You know,
it's like a baseball player that's got like a really sweet swing. It's just like Griffin. You have that visceral reaction to it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my dude. All right. So I kind of wanted to get into just like random NBA fandom just because, well, there's not much else to talk about. And again, I am really, really thrilled about the direction that Locked On Lakers is going in. Don't get me wrong. Doing the show with Harrison has been a freaking blessing. He's a superstar. He deserves everything that he has coming to him. We have some exciting announcements to make in regards to that too. So stay tuned with that. But Pete, thanks again for taking me up on the offer. This is going to be a really fun thing. We're only doing three shows a week until probably the end of the NBA playoffs. And then as those end, we'll kick it back up to 5 days a week. That's when Pete will be coming on twice a week. And we'll get into free agent stuff, draft stuff. The NBA, the Lakers never stop, and there'll always be something for me and Pete to talk about. I'm just thrilled that Pete gets to step in, and you know, you guys will hear it on Monday. But we might also have a traveling correspondent, which who you guys might like a little bit. So thanks, Pete. I'm looking forward to this.
Man, it's gonna be a blast, man. Looking forward to going on this journey with you.
All right, have a great weekend, everybody. Do not miss Monday's show, Harrison's last show. We have special guest Roni Turioff. And look, I'm always a fervent believer in under-promising and overproducing. I am perfectly okay with hyping this up. He was incredible. He's an inspiration. You guys will really enjoy that conversation. And then Harrison has one last hot take that I think a really good portion of the fan base will really enjoy. So check for that on iTunes. As always, find the show wherever you find podcasts. We'll talk to you over the weekend. Stay safe. Have a good one.